All right. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Revelation. And yes, this is a Christmas message coming from Revelation. You're going to say, where is he going with this? All right. Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 through 9. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Please follow along in whatever translation you have, or you can just follow along on the screen. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she could be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. God promises to add his blessing to the reading of his word. And I saw some of you looking and going, oh, wow, Merry Christmas, Tim. We'll address that. But you know what? Every time we come to the study of God's word, there is a principle of Bible study that is indispensable. That principle is total dependence upon the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth of this word. We can all read English, but that doesn't mean we can understand it. This word is eternal. It doesn't just speak to our intellect, it speaks to our spirit. And Jesus said, my Father's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he'll take that which is mine, and he'll explain it to you. So let's pray to that end right now. Lord, again, as we come to you, we've read your word, and we're going to read more of it. And right now, we say, would you please grant unto us that spirit of wisdom and revelation for knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you please open up the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding, so that we can behold the love of Christ and the truth of this word? Please do that. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning, I want you to kind of picture that this is the narration of a play, and there are various scenes that we're going to look at, and we'll look behind the scene. But our story starts in heaven. At least, I think it's heaven. We don't really know, but it's actually the part of heaven called the garden. And it's a long time ago. And in the garden, we have two characters, Adam and Eve. And we break into the scene right after some really bad things have happened. And there's some crying, and there's some great disappointment, and there's some shame, and it's not a really good scene. And I say, what was it, heaven? Was it the garden? Was it on earth? I don't know. Because as this scene closes, there was a door. And who knows where that door is? It was somewhere between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. But that door got closed. And with physical eyes, we can't see it anymore. And How many of you have seen any of the Chronicles of Narnia or read the books? Yeah? C.S. Lewis was not far off. I really don't think so. Because there was God came and went, and he gave Adam and Eve the earth, but he came and went, and after sin came into the world, he put some cherubim with flaming swords at this door, and he closed the door so they could no longer come in. And in some way, there was a door between the two realms. Wow, it's beyond me, but it's a wonderful thought. We break into the scene, and Adam and Eve, I'm sure, have cried, and they're ashamed, and they both said to God, "But we don't have any clothes on, you know?" And here's what God did. He began something that has continued on and on and on and on until a wonderful day in the fullness of time. But he killed some animals. He shed some blood, and he took skins, and he covered them. He clothed them. And Daryl made mention of our spring Bible conference. And one of the things we looked at in that spring Bible conference was the tabernacle. It was made out of skins. And almost from day one, God has desired a tabernacle made of skin, covered with skin, where worship goes on to him. And from the very time that Adam and Eve chose sin, God has been working to get them back. And so there's the scene. God kills some animals and skins them and covers them with that skin. And he began making a promise back in Genesis 3. He says to the serpent, he said, "The seed of the woman is going to bruise your head." He's going to put it right on your head. And that is the first reference to Christ in the whole Bible. Then he says, "You're going to bruise his heel." Yeah, you're going to leave a mark on him. But in the end, he crushes your head. Okay, that's the opening scene. Now we're going to fast forward a few thousand years. And the scene this time we know is in heaven. And God on the throne calls out, Gabriel, come in here. I got a job for you. All right, I'm ready. There's this priest, and he's down in Jerusalem, and it's his turn to go in and offer incense. And this guy doesn't have any kids, and he and his wife are really old. And I want you to go down and tell him that he is going to have a son. Okay, I'll do it. And did I mention that he and his wife are very old? Okay, yeah, I got it. And that his son will be the forerunner to the Messiah that's quickly coming. Okay, I got it. So, the scene, you know, I guess that scene would darken, and then the lights come on again inside the temple. And Zechariah is in there, and he's offering incense and in his part of the worship. And all of a sudden, boom, here comes Gabriel. And Gabriel says, "Zechariah, God has heard your prayers, and you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the forerunner to the Messiah." Now, who are we talking about here? John the Baptist. When John the Baptist comes on the scene, we know that the Messiah is not far behind. It's just a few months. Well, interesting thing happens here. And I was telling Sandy, how in the world does this happen? Okay, Zechariah, did I mention that he's really old? And his wife was really old. And so you're really old, and an angel appears and says, okay, you're going to have a son. What do you think your first statement's going to be? Yeah, right. how is this going to happen? Did I mention that I'm really old? And an interesting thing happens here. The angel says, it's going to happen because I showed up and told you, and I'm telling you what God said, and you should have some faith. And so I tell you what's going to happen. You're going to know that this is true. I'm going to strike you dumb, and you won't be able to talk until the child's born. Wow. Okay. And that's what happened. And so Zechariah, he offers his incense, you know, and he's ministering to the Lord, and he comes out and he starts making gestures and he can't talk. And everybody says, oh, wow, something big happened in there. And he lets them know that he saw an angel. And so time goes on. And this isn't part of what I'm going to cover, but when John the Baptist was born, they're saying, oh, what should we name him? And incidentally, the angel said, you're going to name him John. And they're talking about all these names. And Zechariah says, give me something to write with. And he didn't say that. And he said, his name's going to be John. And when he said that, or when he wrote that down, then he was able to speak. All right, there's the scene. Now, let's go to another scene. We're going back to heaven. All right, the light comes on in heaven. There's God on the throne. Gabriel, come in here. I've got something for you to do. All right, Gabriel's right there. I want you to go talk to a young woman. Her name's Mary. And she's a virgin. And I want you to go tell her that she is going to give birth to the Messiah. All right. Off he goes. And so the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and he says, you are favored among all women. And he tells her that she is going to give birth to the Messiah. Did I mention she's a virgin? What do you think she would say? How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Now, I said to Sandy, explain this to me. Zacharias, he said, wait a minute, how's this going to be? And he gets struck dumb. Mary says, how's this going to be? And she gets an explanation. I'm just saying. She's a woman. As this scene unfolds, the angel Gabriel, he says, this is not a problem because the child that you're going to bear is from God. And guys, we're not given an explanation of the science of how all this happens, but we know Jesus was perfectly God and perfectly man. As the scene unfolds, we read these words. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, and she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Go back to the opening scene. And that's where this whole story starts. It starts with the sinfulness of Adam and Eve. And the story unfolds with scenes from heaven. And there's a pronouncement. God is going to show up in a person, and he will save his people from their sins. Now, this morning, as we go through all these scenes, I want you to understand The reason we read from Revelation is because there is a whole realm of things that go on that we don't see. And we will worship the infant in the manger. And we will say, glory to God in the highest. And we'll do all those things. But I want us to get a little glimpse of God's heart beyond what we always know every Christmas, that he loves us and he sent his son and he lived among us and then he died for us. And I hope this morning we would get to see a little behind the scenes. All right, there's another scene that unfolds here. Now, before I said, well, it may be heaven, it may be earth, I don't know. It's the place called the garden. And then the other scenes were in heaven. This scene, I'm just going to call in realms that we cannot see. There's a battle that rages. Satan wanting to destroy God's plan. Now, in the book of Revelation, and we're not going to go through all the details of explaining this, but I'm just going to give you a quick overview. In chapter 12, the Apostle John just gets a large picture, and it covers thousands of years. And the woman in Revelation 12 is Israel. Israel is often referred to as the bride of God himself. Isaiah says, God says, I am her husband. When Israel left and worshiped other gods, he said, this is adultery. And so he looked at Israel in a marriage relationship. And only God could get away with this. At another time in the Old Testament, he calls them a backslidden heifer. And I'll never forget, growing up, my pastor was talking about this, and he refers to him here as a backslidden heifer. And then he said, Jack Beck, he said, I don't think that was very complimentary, to say the least. And so it's a marriage relationship. And so when the revelation unfolds to John, he sees the woman. And it's Israel. And she's going to give birth to a son, and that is Jesus. And as the curtains draw back on this scene from Revelation 12, what do we see going on associated with the birth of Christ? Spiritual warfare. And Satan pulling out all the stops to stop this business of God becoming one of us, living a perfect life, entering into the realm of justice, and then being declared just, and stepping up and saying, the just will now take the penalty for the unjust, all of us. That was God's plan, and Satan wanted to stop that in every way. We get the whole picture in Revelation 12. What was happening as the angel leaves heaven, as the angel comes to earth, as the Holy Spirit comes down and overshadows Mary, and she becomes pregnant with the very Son of God? What was Satan doing to thwart that? Oh, in verse 7, in Revelation 12, we read, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. What was Satan doing to thwart this business of God becoming one of us? Now, what's the name? What's the word? God with us. What is that word? Emmanuel. And so whatever he can do, he's going to try to stop this. War in heaven around Christmas. And we think that the controversy of Christmas in our country is a big deal. I said, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what actually happened that Christmas day. Ephesians. You say, Tim, are you sure about this? Guys, there is a side to Christmas that I want us to see. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says this. Let me go over here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." That is right now. That is how it has always been. Many times in our elders' meetings, many times in our prayer meetings, we make mention of this. Guys, it's not what you see that you need to be concerned about. It's what's behind what you see. It says, we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There is a spiritual realm around us that we don't see. And that was in play as the scene unfolds in Bethlehem. Say, Tim, are you sure about that? Yeah, I am. 2 Kings. Let's go back to an Old Testament illustration. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings 6 and verses 15 through 17. Yeah, here we go. Elisha is surrounded. Elisha is surrounded. And he's got an attendant. He's got a young apprentice with him. And this guy's looking around and he says, Elisha, to say the least, we're in a bind here. We're about to get trampled. Verse 15 of 2 Kings 6. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? We're surrounded." So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And I'm sure right about now, this young guy is going, "Oh yeah," along with all your other imaginary friends, "there's nobody here." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Guys, there is a spiritual world that we never see. And unless you read God's word and believe it, you never even know about it. And there are some that would say, "You guys are nuts. There's nothing out there." That's exactly what the young attendant said. And Elisha said, "God, open his eyes to see the spirit world." Well, let's go back to our scene here. There's a lot going on. And there's battle in heaven surrounding the very coming and birth of Jesus. Let's go to another scene. Shepherds are out in the fields. And an angel appeared unto them. Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. By the way, in the other scenes, it began an angel of the Lord, and then it turned out to be Gabriel. I'm guessing this is Gabriel again. and stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel what? A multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Gabriel, come in here. All right, tonight Jesus is going to be born. I want you to go, and I want you to find these shepherds in the field. I know they are the lowest of the low, but we're going to announce to them. And so Gabriel goes. Now, I'm going to speculate on something here. Who showed up with Gabriel? A multitude of the heavenly hosts. Was it a legion? Was it 10,000? I don't know. But they were there on the scene. And I'm going to speculate here. I don't know this for sure. But I think they were there for protection. And once Jesus was born, they said, "All right, now let's sing." Do you want to know what they sang? Turn in your hymnals. We've got it. Number 44. Deb's going to play. We're going to sing. Number 44. Go ahead and stand. Sing like an angel, okay? Anybody here prove that they didn't sing that? I don't know that that was there. I don't know if that's what they sang, but it's a pretty good song of worship, isn't it? Wow. I thought of others we could have sang, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We could have sang the Christmas glory, yeah. I could have sang a bunch of them.
I believe the multitude of the heavenly hosts was standing guard until Jesus got there. And when he was born, they said, "All right, let's sing." There's another scene. We're getting close to the end here. Is the warfare over? All right, Jesus is here. Is the warfare over? No. Because you all know this one. There were some wise men that came from the east, and they stopped in to see Herod, and they said, "Have you heard anything about the king that was born? We saw a star." And Herod's going, "A king? Okay." And here's spiritual warfare. Satan is there going, "A king, he's come to take over your throne. It will probably be in a bloody coup, and you are going to be the one that, you know, is laying on the ground. You've got to do something to stop this right now." And so Herod says, "Oh, okay, guys, keep going, but make sure you come back here and tell me when you find him so that I too may worship him." And in this scene, it's one of treachery and deceit. It's one of lying and murder. Because an angel, is it Gabriel? Probably. Comes to the wise men after they find Jesus and bring gifts to him. Perhaps up to 2 years has passed since his birth. The angel says, "Look, guys, you need to go home another way. It's time to go. Do not go by Herod." And then Herod realizes he's been tricked. Oh, this is a story of intrigue. Herod says, "All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. Now tell me, when you see this scene unfold, tell me there's not spiritual forces of wickedness in realms that we don't see. Just tell me." "No, Tim, that's not it. It's a historical fact." Herod said to his legions that he had, he said, "You go to Bethlehem, and every baby boy under the age of 2, kill him." Do you know that was prophesied so many years before? The prophet wrote about Rachel weeping for her children. And what? Rachel weeping for her children? Go through the Old Testament. Go back. Where's Rachel buried? Right outside of Bethlehem. But an angel came as this scene draws to a close, and the intrigue of it all. Oh no, did they get Jesus? Nah, because an angel came. Who do you think it was? And he said, "Joseph, get up. Get down to Egypt. There are bad times coming here. And you need to take Jesus and Mary and get out of here." And so he did, which fulfilled a prophecy about out of Egypt Jesus will come. He got down to Egypt. He missed all that Satan was trying to do to thwart God's plan. All right, let's wrap it up. I want you to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. This is a little different perspective as we think about God loving us this Christmas season. All what happened to make sure that Jesus would show up and be our Savior. Let's talk about angels and us.
I'll start with verse 13, which introduces the subject of angels, and it says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet?'" Then verse 14, he explains something. He says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" Now, the Bible unfolds the curtains and lets us see a little of the spiritual warfare that went on with the birth of Jesus. And then God gives us insight, just a tiny bit, that for you and for me, the forces of heaven are at work. And just as angels came and ministered to those in this story of Jesus coming, can you fathom this? That God would send an angel to Bill to watch over him. That God would send an angel to Karen to watch over her. That God would send five angels to watch over Tim, because this guy is all the time cutting stuff off and falling and trying to get killed, and you guys got to get down there and do something. We rarely, if ever, see it, do we? But we know God does this. And then he writes in his word, "They are ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation." Just as surely as God took all the resources of heaven and made sure that Jesus got here and made sure his plan was accomplished, God will send the resources of heaven for you and for me. We're going to finish, but I want to ask this question. Have you gotten in on the plan? Have you gotten in on the plan yet, whereby God unleashes all the resources of heaven for you? All the power of God is available for those who will inherit salvation. Are you among those who will inherit salvation, or have you ignored it? Have you said, "It's on my list of things to do, I just haven't gotten around to it yet"? I pray this morning that as you have listened to this story unfold, that the Holy Spirit has said to you, "You need this. You need this." And trust me this morning, you need this if you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Savior. Amen. Because the forces of wickedness, it is their desire to drag everybody down into the pits of hell with them. This morning, before you leave, if you hear God talking to you saying, "This is what you need to trust in the Savior." Before you leave, would you just come and say, "Tim, would you show me exactly how I can do this and how I can get in on this? I'll show you." Daryl, raise your hand there. Okay, there's Daryl. Daryl's going to be around here for a few minutes after the service. If I'm busy, just say, "Daryl, can you explain this to me?" Guys, this is the story of Christmas. This is what it's all about. Jesus saving people from their sins. Let's pray. Oh God, this morning we want to praise and worship you for this story, for the truth of this story. And I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to us, that we might glorify you even more, having seen this, and that this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know the Savior, this morning, by faith, they would say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you. Holy Spirit, please do that as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.